Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the Feuersteins Fire American Soccer Show. Whenever you hear that introduction music, it only means one thing and one thing only. We are going to talk about the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, the 2020 edition, as the draw was made this past Wednesday, as the first round begins early. Very early, March 24th and March 25th. Once again, every single match of every single round will be broadcasted on ESPN Plus. If you have your subscription to ESPN Plus, congratulations. If you don't, please do so. And if you still don't, make sure you go and visit your friends that does have one, and hopefully they can set up the big screen TV. Pardon me. And of course, make sure that your web-enabled devices are connected to that big screen TV so you can watch whichever games are available, computer, laptop, tablet, web-enabled devices. Big time once again. We got a couple of rookies coming in, first time ever in the Open Cup. And once again, it does not disappoint. We have ourselves some wonderful matches beginning in the opening round. Of course, clubs from the USL second division, League Two, I should say. Not really second division, but USL League Two, which is formerly the PDL. Of course, the NPSL sides getting ready to go, as well as those amateur sides that have qualified to reach these spots, the 12 spots. Of course, the 13th spot was already won by Newtown Pride, FC of Connecticut, as they were the U.S. Adult Soccer Association champions and automatically going into the 2020 Open Cup tournament. Here are the matchups right now as we discuss this wonderful edition, brand new edition. Let's get it going. First things first. Western Mass Pioneers taking on hosting GPS Portland Phoenix of Maine. West Chester United taking on Vereeniging Erzgebirge. Of course, that is the Pennsylvania matchup. Virginia United taking on and hosting Christos FC. From Morristown, New Jersey, FC Motown hosting the New York Pan Cyprian Freedoms. They are a former two-time Open Cup champion. Atlantic City FC of NPSL taking on Newtown Pride from Connecticut. We also have the North Carolina Fusion under-23s taking on and hosting South Carolina United Bantams. The Villages of Florida taking on South Georgia Tormenta 2. Miami United under-23s hosting Naples United. That's a Florida matchup. Nashville United hosting Cleveland SC. Chicago United FC hosting Minneapolis City. Tulsa Athletic hosting the Fort Worth Vaqueros. And the rookies in Louisiana in Baton Rouge. Louisiana Crew, spelled K-R-E-W-E, hosting Corpus Christi FC. The Des Moines Menace in Iowa, hosting Med City FC. We got a Texas battle going on here. Denton Diablos, as they will host a very dangerous side in the North Texas Rayados. ASC San Diego hosting Chula Vista FC. Cal FC will be hosting Ventura County Fusion as they return to the tournament. FC Boulder Harpos will be taking on Crossfire Redmond. FC Golden State Force taking on FC Arizona. And finally, the Olympic Club hosting FC Davis. Big matchups here to begin the Open Cup, as U.S. Soccer and the Open Cup Committee have decided to start the tournament early. Spread it out. And you know what? Why not? It was due to have this happen anyway. Yet, there are certain clubs that have backed out. Certain clubs have backed out because even though they did earn their spots, unfortunately, because they cannot get certain players available due to them playing and going to school in their colleges and or universities, they were unfortunately backing out of the tournament in protest. And of course, one of those sides that has been a part of the Open Cup since their existence starting, of course, in the PDL, is the Reading United Athletic Club, Reading United AC. And of course, the team that has been known as, at the time, the Mid-Michigan Bucks, Michigan Bucks, now Flint Bucks, Flint City Bucks. The Bucks have also dropped out of the Open Cup. You know, the one thing that I think we've all discussed about the Open Cup is that when it was beginning in May, yes, of course, it was fitting for some of these teams that are able to get the college players to come over and play in a sort of professional league setting. You know, they didn't have a problem getting these players. But because U.S. Soccer also understood the concerns of not forcing all these opening rounds at the same time in the same month. Don't get me wrong. It was always fun to see the Open Cup begin in May. But the truth of the matter is this. Having it starting in May and knocking out three rounds within a month was not feasible. It meant nothing. It just felt like it was being rushed. Rushed and hurried. So what did U.S. Soccer do? U.S. Soccer listened to us. U.S. Soccer and the Open Cup Committee listened to us. Listened to the complaints that we had. Did it cost some teams an opportunity to showcase their stuff? Unfortunately, yes. Can U.S. Soccer improve on this? But of course. Of course they can. Should it begin in April? I don't have a problem with it. I mean, I think they should at least host one or two rounds in April if it's possible. If it's possible. If it's still too early, well, then how are we going to fix this? Are we going to go back to where it was, where you're going to cramp it all up in within a month in the first opening three rounds before we get to MLS in June? There are plenty of questions still out there. Do we have the answers at the moment? I don't know. U.S. Soccer is just going to have to come together with those NCAA sides, or at least to have a possibility to talk with the NCAA, to have some of these players that normally play for college teams or college universities, these men's tournaments, of course. We all know that the men's soccer tournaments are very, very short. It's a very short season for men's soccer when it comes to the collegiate leagues. And let's not forget, of course, those conference championship titles. And then the main titles themselves, of course, the main tournament, the NCAAs. Of course, Division I, the College Cups, Division II, Division IIIs, and whatever other divisions there are in the NCAA. But the truth is this, is that there had to be a change. There had to be a change. And if there was no change, we'd be stuck in the same place like we've always been. I understand, and you know, I feel sad and disappointed that some of those clubs have decided to back out due to the fact that they cannot get their players available for the Open Cup because of the new scheduling format. But once again, I think U.S. soccer can have a compromise somewhere down the road. Until then, this is what it is for now for the 2020 edition. Can there be changes for 2021? We're just going to have to wait and see. But as of right now, this is a positive. There are always going to be negatives involving a positive. But at the moment, we have a positive, and I don't have a problem with it. And I'm glad that at least U.S. soccer listened to the American soccer fans, the Open Cup fans, the people who want to see these clubs advance deep, get their opportunity to face an MLS side like what Christos FC has done the last couple of years. That magical run they had until they met DC United, had that lead, lost the lead before halftime, and then lost the match late in the second half. Or those lower-level division sides, like what Miami FC did, or like what FC Cincinnati did when they were part of USL Championship or the USL League before they moved up to MLS, falling out against the New York Red Bulls after a 2-0 lead, leveled at 2 at the end of regulation, and then, of course, the New York Red Bulls with a big-time goal by Bradley Wright Phillips to make it 3-2 and advance them to the finals back in 2017. At the moment, there is going to be a lot of action. There's going to be a lot of goals. There's going to be some craziness. This is what the Open Cup brings. You never, ever see sanity when it's Open Cup season, no matter what round it is. You're going to probably see 10 goals. It could be 5-5 going into extra time. It could be 6-6, and then it's penalties. You could have a blowout. You could have a tight one. Bookings, sending offs, even own goals might decide matches. Isn't this fun? Can you not wait for the excitement, for the fun, for the belief that the U.S. Open Cup brings to us, brings to you, the American soccer fan? You see your clubs representing Major League Soccer, the United Soccer League's Championship, United Soccer League's League One, League Two, MPSL, and now, congratulations, the NISA as a Division III league will enter this season in the professional levels and to tackle the U.S. Open Cup this season in the second round, and the amateurs and the under-23 squads are ready to go. This, my friends, is what we've all been envisioning. This, my friends, is what we've been hoping for. We have been waiting very patiently for the teams that are going to be coming in their designated rounds. MLS now, of course, will have those non-playoff teams entering the third round, while those that made the playoffs enter the fourth round. I cannot wait. I cannot wait till we blow the whistle to open the 2020 edition of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. The Doer title is up for grabs, and the defending champions once again reside in the state of Georgia as Atlanta United, two consecutive seasons with trophies, with MLS Cup in 2018, the U.S. Open Cup in 2019, the Campeones Cup as well that season. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be wonderful, and I cannot wait till we get to March and we begin the run and the ride of the U.S. Open Cup. Big guests tonight, none bigger than this gentleman who came on the show a few years ago as the beginnings of Atlantic City FC came to the NPSL, and now they are officially in their very first U.S. Open Cup. Part of the ownership group of the front office of Atlantic City FC, Mr. Andrew Wildgust joins me tonight. Andrew, good evening. And Wednesday night was the draw. You must be very happy with the opponent you have been drawn with.
We would have been happy drawing anybody, quite frankly. But yes, we're excited. It's funny because those that remember minor league baseball in this area, the Atlantic City Surf used to exist. And the first season the Surf were in the championship of this minor league, they played the Bluefish from none other than Newtown, Connecticut. So it's funny that full circle later, you know, 20 years later or so, completely different sport, and our first draw in the U.S. Open Cup, and it's against a team from Newtown, and they actually have an ex-player of ours. I don't know if he's part of this this squad or not, but so we're familiar with their team and their story. And yes, last year they were an absolute powerhouse, and they knocked out our sister club, the Jackson Lions, on their way to qualifying for this. So you know, it's incredibly exciting. We were so happy to get to host the game, which is just a tremendous honor to do that as well. But we're looking forward to it. I mean, what else can you say?
Well, let me just say this. You know, I mean, I know you're an Arsenal supporter. Obviously, you've seen trials and tribulations of FA Cup tournaments, seeing what Arsenal has done in the past, of course, winning the most recent three in a row. And, of course, Arsene Wenger was running the club at the time, the famed Arsene Wenger. And now you have an opportunity to see Atlantic City FC hosting the tournament in, let's be honest, it's in the backyard. It's
yep.
not far away from the casinos. But still, though, now you don't have to worry about red and white. Now you have to worry about purple and white and green and every other color that's a part of that kit. is this what you've really imagined?
Yeah.
Purple and black? Oh, well, listen, look, you know more than I do about the color scheme, but I know it's
no
purple.
Worries.
I've seen your – yes, but the
that's
truth
for sure.
is that –
That's for sure.
Exactly. You know, now you have – it's close to home now. Your side has an opportunity to get a run going. And like you've said, this is full circle. You're facing an opponent, different sport in the past, but now you've got them in your own backyard in the same stadium that that former independent minor league baseball team played in.
Well, it's a different stadium completely. So we're playing at Rowan University because it was the closest facility that met U.S. soccer standards for what we were trying to do, and also that had a turf field so we could guarantee not being rained out. The ability to play in this game is like incredible for us. I think when you're a fan of a team like Arsenal or any team from any country, you know what your country's cup is all about. And the U.S. Open Cup happens to be the third oldest consecutively run cup in the world. And you're going on, what, 107 runs. So for us, when my business partner and I started this team years ago, we dreamed of this as a goal one day. We looked at this as something that if we, you know, tirelessly worked at for, you know, maybe many years, maybe a decade before we would have an opportunity to do this. It would be something that would be an incredible reward for putting in this type of effort. And now it's come very, you know, clear into focus for us that this is something that we don't just want to do once and do well. A, we want to put an incredible squad together and put a run into this thing that is worthy of what the city and our sponsors, including the Tropicana, have given to us. And two, we want to be able to do this every year and work for the NPSL season for this goal, to not only qualify for the U.S. Open Cup, but to build a team that can make a run. And I think that for an NPSL level team running on the budget we're running on with the resources that we have starting out, that's a very, very, you know, it's a bold aspiration, but it's something that's doable and that every team at our level should be looking at as a nice formula and a reward for putting in the hard work. So, you know, granted, a lot of crazy circumstances occurred this year that left us in this position to take this bid. And moving up the date certainly hurt teams like Reading United, which we have incredible respect for. But at the same time, Daniel, there's how many college programs out there? You care to give a guess? I think the number is somewhere between like 3,000 and 4,000 that run a soccer program in the U.S. Right. So every year there's a graduating class of kids. Now think about this. If you're a kid, you're 8 years old, and you make it to college soccer, you've spent 14 years of your life grinding every single day for a goal. And then you go through this rigorous academic four-year cycle in addition to playing, and then you have nothing left. Nothing. And it's like, all right, well, wrap it up, kid. Go home. You're not good enough to go pro, so it's Sunday league or nothing. But with this schedule shift, what it's actually done, as opposed to negating all these active college players, is it gives a great opportunity for a lot of players that are done with their college cycle and that still want to compete and train and work hard and come together and build a community-based team that's not about profiteering or about money, that's about playing and winning and doing it for the right reasons. And they can still work for that goal. And then compete in something like the U.S. Open Cup. I mean, that's like getting a shot to go into the NCAA tournament every single year and have a 15 take out a two. It's great. It happens occasionally, and we saw it last year. The Orange County Football Club runs on something like a $40,000 a year budget, and the first team they knocked out ran on a $3.5 million budget, the second team a $5 million budget, and then they lost to the Galaxy, who just signed Chicharito. So, you know, for me, that's an incredible thing for a team like ours to get to experience, and for players, local players that are coming through this system, that work and that grind and that go through that 14-year process and get their degree and then get a job, they can still be part of an organization, a professional organization. Yes, maybe the wages aren't in addition, but there's plenty of ways for players to make money coaching on the side and doing things on the side and being part of an organization. And then this really becomes something that they can work hard for, and I think it's awesome.
What has the buzz been about this Open Cup bid? The locals from Atlantic City as well as those surrounding towns near Atlantic City. You know, have you heard plenty of buzz? Oh, we're going to go to this game. Oh, we cannot wait to watch this Open Cup tournament start with our beloved Atlantic City FC. What is the area have told you?
I feel like there is. There's been a huge buzz because, you know, the players that we're going to have on the team, since there aren't active college players that are going to be part of it, will be players that in a lot of cases are local and they have ties to universities around this area, whether it be Princeton or Rowan. Or Stockton or things like that. So I think their families are going to be geared up and by extension, their friends as well. You know, we don't know what to expect. The first time you go into anything, it's hard to know what's going to happen. But we do feel like the U.S. Soccer's done an amazing job of giving us ample time to plan for this and to get set and really clear direction. They've coordinated exceptionally well with the NPSL, who is always amazing at working with the teams in the league to get planned and prepared. So we feel like there's a lot of work to do finalizing the roster and getting everything set. But we also feel like there's a very clear pathway laid out by U.S. Soccer and by our league about how to utilize this opportunity to further the franchise. So I think that's what we're going to do.
Past Open Cup tournaments real quick. Obviously, the biggest one that everyone always talks about is the road that Christos FC has taken. Starting off in the first round, going all the way against DC United in the fourth round, and opening up the scoring against DC before they fell apart at the end of the match. I mean, of course, the crowd that they got, which was supposed to be a DC home game in Boyd's, Maryland, became a Christos home game. Is that what you're hoping for down the road? If you do get a home game or maybe a visiting trip somewhere in the vicinity.
I don't think the crowd comes as a result of entering big matches per se. I think the way you build a crowd and the way you build the fan base is really there's no shortcuts. You got to really build a grassroots organization that works with the local youth teams, that works with the community, that works with diverse aspects of your community, especially when you have a place like Atlantic City with this amazing diverse Latino population, Eastern Europe, Irish, Islamic. There's like an incredible diversity in our community, and the thing they all love is soccer. So, you know, what we're hoping is we will tap into that over time, but there's no shortcuts, and we're just working very hard to try to become part of this city and to work with local youth groups. It's not easy because everybody comes with a history and they're already doing their own thing, and we're the new guy. And, you know, it takes time to kind of work our way in. But what we've done by taking a top-down approach, building the senior team first and then starting to plan in phases, you know, working with youth and taking that approach, it's to just be part of the community. And then we hope the fans will come. So we have no preconceived notions that this can, you know, Christos is a program that was around a long time, and they have this incredible adult program that goes all the way up to over 30s, over 40s, et cetera. And our sister club, the Jackson Lions, have the exact same type of program. So we did model that type of success and try to bring it in, you know, to our program and how we're going to do it. But we're going into our third season, Daniel. So that's the thing. Like, it's still new. And there's also been a lot of false starts in Atlantic City history in terms of sports. We just had an Arena Football League fold after 1 year of the team coming into Atlantic City. And, you know, people, there's been a lot of teams come and go here. So I think it takes a while to earn the trust of people. It takes a while to let them know that you're going to be here and grinding and working and being part of the community every single day. And there's no shortcut. So, you know, I have no expectations. I hope the crowd comes. I would love it to be a great crowd. It's during the heart of the university season. So school will be in session. There will be, you know, plenty of people around. And Rowan University itself, their soccer program was averaging, you know, close to 1,000 fans. So I feel like it could be a great night. I hope the weather cooperates, quite frankly, because it is late March in South Jersey, and that's not necessarily a formula for breezes on the beach, but we'll deal with it. This is proper soccer. I mean, you know, they play FA Cup matches in January, so it's hard to complain. And we're excited. I do know we're going to keep ticket prices really low, and we just want people to come out. You know, I think we're probably looking at $5 tickets and things like that. So it's going to be about fan experience and nothing else.
Really quick, and I wanted to throw this out at you because obviously before every other state starts, you know, creating their own casino sections, I've always considered Atlantic City, New Jersey, and of course Las Vegas, Nevada, you know, any Lake Tahoe, Reno, you know, the gambling centers of the nation.
Sure.
In my mind, the trifecta is now in play. You have the lights from Las Vegas, Reno 1868, Atlantic City FC. Do you feel now it's kind of like full circle now that the gambling establishments from like a long time ago now involved
one very big
in
one.
This game?
You forgot one very, very big one, and that would be Monaco.
Which one is it?
Monaco,
but they're not in the United States.
No, they're not, but guess what? They're coming. So that's all I can tell you.
That's true. Are they coming to face Atlantic City FC?
Hey, listen, anything is possible, but let's just say that we're actively pursuing interesting games that can help our brands, especially the casino brands. And we've had great conversations with the folks in Vegas. There's a new team in the NPSL in Las Vegas as well, the Las Vegas Legends, which were an indoor team in the MASL, similar to the Tacoma Stars that have now just expanded to a full outdoor team. So, you know, in our the East versus West happened, you could get a, you know, quote, casino classico right in the NPSL. And we've had great conversations with Reno 1868 as well. Our captain, our first year, who's the captain of the Puerto Rican national team, is now playing pro in Bangladesh, Sidney Rivera. After he completed his first season with us, he went to Reno 1868 for their playoff run. Anything's possible. It's Daniel, it's always about travel and expense with getting teams to and from. But we would love to play games against those teams. And ultimately speaking, as we grow as a team, we hope to make that happen.
I hope so, too. Listen, Andrew, good luck in your first round match. Good luck in your NPSL season as well. I really hope we're going to get ourselves a rocking match against Newtown Pride FC. Good luck in March, and have a good evening. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it, and you're a welcome guest. If you'd like to come out to the game, feel free to let me know. We would love to have you.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you again.
You got it. Take care.
All right. Thank you. Andrew Wildgust from Atlantic City FC. And, of course, they're going to take on this club. They are the current and defending USASA champions in the amateur rankings from Newtown Pride FC. This is Mr. Mike Svanda joining us. Mike, thank you for your time and congratulations in your advancement automatically into the 2020 U.S. Open Cup.
Thank you, Dan. On behalf of the whole team, thank you very much, and we appreciate you having us on your show this evening.
Well, I'm very glad to have you guys on the show. Obviously, everyone knows, I mean, I don't want to bring in anything negative. Obviously, we all know what happened in Newtown, Connecticut on that tragic day. But still, though, you know, we all believe that soccer, football will always try to help healing such a terrible thing that happened at that school. But still, though, this is a team that faced a lot of tough amateur sides. Lansdowne boys from Yonkers, New York, of course, very, very tough side to face against. And, of course, beating them, leading to that championship to enter your automatic bid for the Open Cup.
Yes, we had probably as tough matches to get to the national finals as we had in the finals. The Eastern Regional was very, very competitive to get through, and we've only gotten to the Eastern Regional finals once before. And truthfully, there are three or four teams that are at our level, and whoever has the best day wins.
Isn't that so? Well, let me just say this. Newtown had the best day, and now they're going into the Open Cup. How long has this club been around in Newtown, Connecticut? And you know, how many times have they tried to at least get close to reaching an Open Cup tournament?
We started the organization as it exists in 1998 and have gone through different age levels with basically the same group. Our attempt to get through to Lamar Hunt, I'm going to say 6 or 7 years, one or the other.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you finally made it, and you know when you're facing some of these longtime teams in the amateur rankings. These amateur leagues, of course, the Cosmopolitan League, that's always going to be a tough league in the New York, New Jersey area and Connecticut as well. You know, you got to be on your toes every single time going out there. Now, of course, you win your first. Is this the first national championship for Newtown Pride, or have you won it before?
This is the first one.
And that must have been a big celebration all night long in downtown Newton.
Yes, Connecticut hasn't won the amateur national championship only once before, going back to 1967. So it was kind of a good feeling for us in the state and our league, the Connecticut Soccer League.
That's amazing. That's absolutely wonderful to hear. Finally getting that big prize, and of course that big prize leads you to this Open Cup tournament. You will be taking on Atlantic City FC. You'll be traveling down to South Jersey to take on this NPSL side that is, you know, I've had Mr. Andrew Wildgust on before you came on, and they're ready for the match. They're excited. There's no doubt that your boys are going to be excited. I bet there will be a good traveling contingency coming down to Atlantic City, but make sure you keep your money away from the casinos.
Yes. Atlantic City FC, we have not had a match with them before, but we are somewhat familiar with the Keystone Conference that they play in and have tremendous respect for a number of teams in that conference. I know Westchester United, FC Motown, Philadelphia Lone Star are some of the teams in that conference, and this team, Atlantic City, finished first in that conference last year which tells us the quality of competition we're up against.
Yes, it is, and it's going to be very, very tough. You'll be facing them at Roan University's soccer stadium, obviously, their soccer field. And, you know, being at the school in Mahwah, New Jersey, Ramapo College, New Jersey Athletic Conference, that's Division III, of course, of collegiate soccer, the NJAC has always been a very, very tough Division III soccer conference. And, you know, you've had some several players. I don't know how many have been in the school system elsewhere, but at least I know one college friend of mine did play in MLS, drafted by then known as the Metro Stars, now the New York Red Bulls, attended college with him. So there's going to be some pretty strong players probably that have attended school within the area of South Jersey, and it's going to be a very, very tough matchup. Have you seen any film from last year? Are you expecting a very tough opponent in this matchup? What are we expecting from Atlantic City in your mind?
We just very recently found out who we were facing, and I haven't studied their team film-wise, but once again, I'm very familiar with the conference. We actually played Westchester United in 2014 in the regional finals and lost a very tough game to them, and have great respect for them as well as that entire conference. Westchester United actually came to Newtown after we played them and did a charity fundraiser for our youth community services in town, which at that point were, you know, committed to supporting families that had lost children in the tragedy. So we not only know the quality of the teams in that conference, but we've had great experience with at least that one team from it. And we're familiar, although we haven't played them, with FC Motown and the Philadelphia Lone Star too. And again, Atlantic City went 7-2-1 to finish first in that conference, which tells me about all I need to know about the quality of that team.
Absolutely. What type of team do you know, the tactics, the formations? Is it a straight out 4-4-2? You have a diamond midfield. What makes Newtown Pride tick that, you know, maybe some clubs are not going to be, you know, they're not going to know about you, but, you know, what makes this club tick? What makes them sound so dangerous from your perspective?
Well, I'm very standard. I like to rely on a strong defense, and we go out with a straight 4-4-2. I have, as most quality teams do, a couple of midfielders, one that plays in the middle, one that plays outside, which complement our offense. So we have a quick offense with support out of the middle and a really strong back line. That's pretty much how I would sum us up.
That's awesome. That's absolutely wonderful. You know, I got to tell you, it's going to be exciting to see what Newtown is going to be doing in this matchup. And as we've already noticed, and once again, every single match of every single round will be broadcasted on ESPN+. And I'm assuming that there's going to be a very nice watch party somewhere in downtown Newtown, Connecticut, when you know, your match is going to be broadcasted on the you know, streaming live. There'll be an ESPN streaming truck somewhere in the vicinity. Has there been plenty of buzz going on in Newtown as well as the neighboring towns to see this side make a run?
Yes, and we need to be encouraging that more. We have two primary goals stated for our team with objectives. The first one, of course, is to put a competitive team on the field. And the second is to make Newtown Pride a community experience. So my son, who plays and also is the manager, is working diligently with different pieces of the community, not only for them to support us in this game, but to have some events in town here, which will have a lot of community base and support for it.
That's going to be excellent, and I cannot wait to see how that match will happen. And I hope there's going to be a lot of people heading over wherever the match is going to be, whether it be in their houses, whether it be at the bar, whether it be at a, who knows, maybe there's an Elks Lodge if there's going to be something like that going on, or a community center. Hopefully we will hear a loud cheer if Newtown Pride does convert a chance to get a lead, or at least to get on the board. Have you watched any Open Cup matches, you know, through the streams, like on ESPN as well? What matches do you remember of any have you watched that, you know, that gets your excitement going for the Open Cup? Or, if I can throw this at you, if you support an English side in the Premier League, you know, when you watch the FA Cup,
Let's go back to Lamar Hunt, because Connecticut has been well represented the last 3 years in Lamar Hunt. Last year by Hartford Athletic, a USL team right out of Hartford, Connecticut, which we have had a friendly with. And going back 2 years, we had Elm City out of the MPSL. So I was actually at some of their games, and of course they're the home team, so those are my favorite games to have seen.
That's wonderful. And of course, I believe their first win ever for Hartford Athletic last year was in the Open Cup in the second round. I believe that was their first ever win, and it was in the Open Cup, and that was very exciting to watch a couple of those goals from long distance hit the back of the net.
Yes, and you know, to give them some credit, it was their first year, and for most of their season they didn't have a home field, so it took them a while to get going. And we're looking forward. We have another friendly scheduled with them this summer, and we're looking forward to working with them. Of course, they're at a different level organizationally, but they've been very supportive of us. After we won our amateur national championship, they had a night for us in one of their games where they honored us on the field. So we're very partial to them. Let's put it that way.
Well, of course, and I don't blame you. You know, state brotherhood. I mean, why not? You root for those teams that represent your state. Why not? And, of course, let's hope they do the same thing for you when you're going into this first round. And who knows, if Newtown Pride does pull off a big victory, you could be drawn with Hartford Athletic.
Yes, it could happen that way, but no need to project. We need to go and play competitively down in New Jersey and see what happens.
Absolutely, and I cannot wait to see how that matchup is going to be. Who is your best player attacking-wise, and who is your best player defending, not counting the goalkeeper?
Well, I have a tremendous goal scorer that plays up front, but I have a center mid who creates probably more offensively, so it depends on what you're looking for. I tend to look more for who makes the play happen than who scores the goal. Truthfully, I'm not going to put a name to that.
That's
defensively,
fine.
Defensively, I have one of my center mids who's been with me a long time, who I rely on a lot, and his name is Mike Cimito.
All right, Mike Cimito. Well, we'll keep an eye on that during the broadcast. Mr. Sfonda, thank you for your time. I appreciate you coming on the show. Good luck in March, and then when the next season starts, of course, very soon for Newtown Pride, good luck in your league season. Have a good night, and good luck in the first round.
Thank you very much for having us, Dan. Appreciate it.
No problem at all. You have a good night. All right. Mike Sfonda from Newtown Pride, Connecticut, of course. The U.S. Adult Soccer Association champions of 2019, automatic bid going into this 2020 U.S. Open Cup tournament. Now we're heading over to the USL League Two. And, of course, we have on, of course, a first-time side going into their first-ever Open Cup tournament. He is the head coach of the under-23 side for the North Carolina Fusion. and his name is Mr. Chris Williams. Chris, thank you for your time. Good evening, and there must be a lot of excitement going on in your neck of the woods.
Hey, Dan, thanks for having us on the program. Absolutely. It's a really exciting opportunity. It's a really exciting time there in Greensboro. Obviously, we had a staff meeting, actually, on Monday, and we actually discussed the Open Cup, and obviously the excitement with the staff and everybody else was great. So we're looking forward to it. We have a wonderful opportunity, and we're looking forward to the first round.
When you found out that the club qualified for the 2020 Open Cup, you know, what was the area of Greensboro like? You know, what was the feeling from the town? What was the feeling from the players as well? I mean, obviously you and your staff were excited and buzzed about it, but what's the feeling going on in Greensboro, North Carolina?
There's an air of excitement. There really is. Greensboro kind of the Triad area really is a fantastic area for sports, but it's very fickle in the fan base. So, fans want to see the clubs do well. We've got some fantastic universities, in and around the area that are continuing to do well. So, there really is an air of excitement. The club itself has had some successes over the years. It's been a while since that. So the fact that we have an opportunity in the Open Cup is obviously massive, So, in that staff meeting on Monday, I think that's probably the most excited I've been as a coach since I've been at the club, based on, what the feedback was from coaches and people involved with the club. So we're really excited.
Oh, it sounds like I can hear in your voice. Where are you originally from, Chris?
Kentucky. No. Originally from Wales. So I was born and raised in Wales, and then came over to the States on fortunate enough to come over on a soccer scholarship, and met my lovely wife and have two amazing kids, and stayed over here. So this is my home now.
Boy, I've never heard that Kentucky accent before. No, I'm just kidding. But you probably have seen many FA Cups involving Swansea, Cardiff. Obviously, yeah. The Welsh League. I mean, there has to be a Welsh FA Cup as well. You've seen a lot of FA Cup tournaments that, you'd hope to get involved in something like this for yourself one of these days, I believe.
Yeah, it's close to home on many occasions, because I think as kids growing up, especially, in the UK, is the FA Cup's is a massive, massive tournament. It really is, There's a huge sense of the David and Goliath outcome, and there's a couple of reasons why it's close to heart. To myself, is I remember vividly my father playing for a team called Colwyn Bay, and they played in a Welsh Cup game against Wrexham. Anyway, long story short, the week before, Wrexham had just beaten Arsenal in the FA Cup. Mickey Thomas scored an unbelievable goal, and then 5 days on, Colwyn Bay, which were an amateur team, had beaten Wrexham, at a packed house at the race course. So I remember seeing the scenes, and I remember watching my dad play, and that for me sticks in my memory massively. So the fact that we have an opportunity to be involved in something like this is huge. So we're extremely excited.
Now, obviously, there was a club not far from Greensboro called the Carolina Dynamo. I don't know if they are still around or not, but have you ever faced them in the past?
Well. Funnily enough, Dan, the club at North Carolina Fusion 23s is actually part of the former Carolina Dynamo. So, obviously, so the Dynamo obviously have been a massive club since 93, I believe. Obviously they were a professional club for a long period of time. And then now the Carolina Dynamo umbrella has come under NC Fusion. So long story short, in 2018, there was three clubs that merged, and part of that merging was the Carolina Dynamo. So we've rebranded, taking the name of Carolina Dynamo made it NT Fusion under 23. So now we have a pathway all the way through to our 23s with obviously with the USL 2. So the general manager that we have, Scott Zapko, has been involved with the Carolina Dynamo for many years. So, you know, it's fantastic we have somebody like that with that mass amount of experience, you know. So we're basically the Dynamo, but with a different name. So it's obviously it's fantastic to be able to take that name and take those successes that the club has and kind of build on those, you know.
No, absolutely. I mean, look, you know, if you can bring on a grand name like that in American soccer history, obviously they've had great runs in the Open Cup. And, you know, if they're able to stay alive and, you know, rebrand under North Carolina Fusion, why not? And go for it and be strong and continue on that legacy. Why not? Of course. Now, you have been drawn against the South Carolina United Bantams. Now, that's a side, obviously, you cannot mess around with, but at the same time, it sounds like they are a very big rival.
Yeah, they are. I was speaking to Scott early on today, and I think it was 4 years we're in the same conference as the Dynamo, and we had multiple conference playoff games against them. And the irony of it all is, right now I actually live in South Carolina, and I actually know all the guys, or the majority of the guys, over at the club. So, you know, the rivalry is not only from a club perspective, but it's very personal as well. So, it's brilliant. You know, I think how we would brand it as a club is very much a north versus south game, and obviously we're very excited about that. You know.
Yep, I don't blame you. I mean, why not? You know, you're always going to have those players. They've played on your club in the past, and then they go to another club, and everyone, knows each other. And, of course, the competitive juices will always flow. So we're always going to see, you know, the same players. They've played with each other. Now they're playing against each other. So, you know, why not have some fun here? Why not go after it? And you know what? It's going to be exciting. It's going to be very exciting to see, you know, because I believe, you know, you have a team from North Carolina taking on a team from South Carolina. Obviously, there's in-state rivals, but those two are always fighting against each other, aren't they, the North and the South?
Yeah, they are, definitely. You know, obviously, we've, as a club from afar, we've seen the successes of the Bantams over the year, and obviously they went on a fantastic run, you know, this past summer. So, you know, we know we're going to come up against the, you know, very, very organized, very well-drilled team. Obviously, as I said, I know the coaches over there. It's going to be a tough game. We understand that, but, you know, the fact that we've been drawn against another USL 2 team, and the fact that the proximity is so close, it's brilliant for us. It's not only great for me as a coach and for the guys who are going to be playing, but also for the fans as well, both their fans and our fans. So, you know, we can't wait to play, if I'm being honest.
Absolutely. And you know what? Why not? It's going to be exciting and fun. And I think the best thing about this one is you're hosting the match. Is that what your intentions were, to host a big time match, and especially in the Open Cup for the club?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think, Scott, our general manager, has done it. He's done an unbelievable job, you know, obviously over the past couple of years. And, you know, his main goal was always to try and host. The fact that we're hosting is huge for the club. You know, obviously puts the players in the shop window, which is huge, which is what we're all about as a club. We want to move players on. You know, obviously we're very fortunate that we've combined the three clubs together, and now we have a massive club of over 7,000 kids. So, you know, our goal is to try and get as many of those kids out to the game in the Open Cup. And the fact that the Open Cup now is earlier is massive for us, because obviously in May, you know, lots of kids are doing lots of different things. So for us now, as coaches within the club and people within the club, we can we can set up a night where, hey, listen, there's no training tonight, therefore you have to come to this game. So, you know, our goal is we want to try and get, you know, at least 1,000 to 4,000 fans there at the game. I don't think that's unrealistic based on the people that we have involved and the people that are invested in terms of getting the people out there and the marketing people. So, you know, we're really excited, you know, really excited the fact that we can get a big crowd out there and obviously have them support the guys for that first round.
Just to ask, McPherson Stadium, of course, will be where you're going to be playing this matchup. How far is it away from downtown Greensboro? And at the same time, as you've said, you're hoping for a lot of people to come over between one to. Well, I mean, I hope you get 5,000. To be honest with you, because you know this is a big time matchup. You know, when you talk about the Open Cup, you talk. I mean, I'd like to expect maybe maybe a gigantic crowd that you might have to force to turn away people, or at least get a big screen to have people watch out in a grassy knoll of some sort.
Yeah, we would. You know, we would love nothing more than that. Obviously, the McPherson can hold a certain amount of people. You know, we would love nothing more to be at capacity. You know, we met as a group on Monday in terms of, you know, how can we attract the local community and what fun events that we can put on in order to, you know, have the crowd gravitate towards us. Obviously, we have a good relationship with a couple of the breweries downtown in Greensboro. Our hope is that we can kind of bus people over from there. So our marketing department, which is fantastic, headed by a guy called Chris Barnett, is unbelievable, if I'm being completely honest. So my hope is that him and obviously the remaining guys that help out are able to kind of make that a possibility, which I have no doubt that they will, no doubt. So we're, as I said, over and over, it's a really exciting time in Greensboro, and obviously we can't wait for the game. And my hope is that there's a packed crowd out there for what is really a massive rivalry and a derby game, you know?
Oh, yeah, I bet. And why not? Usually those are the best when it comes to the Open Cup. Now, if I can ask you this, since being here in the States and watching these Open Cup matches, which ones have you seen? You know, whether it be an MLS match that has been, you know, piqued your interest, or a USL League match of any kind, which Open Cup matches have you seen yourself, whether it be through live or on a stream like through YouTube, that has, you know, given you, oh, that's a massive match that I want to watch?
Yeah, that's a great question, Dan. I remember So a friend of mine, Mark Steffens, he used to coach the Charlotte Eagles, and then he went over to Pittsburgh Riverhounds. Anyway, long story short, I went over to shadow him for probably 5 days in Pittsburgh, and it was actually leading up to the Open Cup game against Chicago Fire, I think it was, in Pittsburgh. And I remember vividly, you know, the crowd and the support, and you know, Chicago brought a younger team, and I think they ended up losing. I think it was 2-1, but I can just remember the buzz, you know, the buzz of the stadium, and just remember, you know, how packed it was during those moments. And I think it went 1-0 Pittsburgh, 1-1, and then 2-1 Chicago. But I remember during those moments that, you know, there was just a huge buzz. And And it was nothing like, you know, it was nothing like I'd seen there, because I'd shadowed a game previously that they played during the week that was just a league game, and the attendance was okay, and you know, the support was just okay, but there was just something different about the Open Cup, the fact that an MLS team coming. Now, you know, the romanticism, you know, of the cup, you know, whether it's the Open Cup or the FA Cup or the Welsh Cup, whatever it may be, I think it's still there, you know. And I would love nothing more that if we won this first game, that we got a big team and we could continue to progress. Because as you know, during these games and cup games, it really is a matter of, you know, if you turn up on your day and maybe you play a team that has a bad day in the office, that you may get a result against the top team that you may not normally get 8 times out of 10. So that was the game that really stuck out for me, and my hope is that, you know, as a club, we would love nothing more than to win this first game and see where it takes us.
No, absolutely, and it's going to be a fun time. I know I cannot wait to watch that match live on ESPN+. Mr. Williams, good luck in the Open Cup in March. Good luck in your USL League 2 season, and have a good evening, and I hope you get success.
Excellent. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate you having me. Take care.
Take care now. Once again, Chris Williams, the head coach of the North Carolina Fusion Under-23s, as they're going to take on the South Carolina United Bantams in the opening round. My final guest for tonight, this is a gentleman over in Texas where they take their soccer seriously. It doesn't matter if it's in Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, Rio Grande Valley, Austin, the soon-to-be MLS Austin, but in the amateur levels, it's red hot as well. Mr. Damon Gochnauer from, coolest name, very well, the coolest name of a football club, soccer club, the Denton Diablos.
Love the Denton Diablos.
Love.
Yeah, man.
That's right.
The super Denton excited, Diablos. I appreciate you having me on, yeah. I'm super excited.
Nope. Oh, I bet you are. I can hear in your voice. I mean, this is like the creme de la creme. I mean, this is where you can pit your strengths not only against your own, but you have an opportunity, if you win this opening round, to take on the next level, whether it be Division II or Division III side in the United Soccer Leagues, as well as the NISA.
It's a dream come true. Absolute dream come true, Dan. It's part of the reason that we founded the club, and is literally a bucket list item for me as an owner and my family.
Oh, I bet. I really bet. And why not? Because how many times have you watched the Open Cup before you even created this club? How many times have you seen probably the weirdest games you will ever see? I mean, like I've said before in my intro monologue, you know, you can get yourself a tight one, you know, 1-1. It could go into extra time. There'll be more goals. Yet, you know, you won't get an ending winner. And then again, it could go with the penalties, or you could get yourself a 10-goal fun time that you never expected.
Yep. No, and I've seen a little bit of all that, man. We were FC Dallas season ticket holders and still are and have been for 6-7 years now. So we got to experience the fun of rooting our home team, you know, professional club, FC Dallas, all the way through when they won the trophy in, I believe, 16 or 17. And I was actually away for business and watched the final with all my family in the stands, and my wife is FaceTiming, and it was amazing. And then, you know, I've watched FC Dallas win penalty shootouts against Philly Union 2 years before, and then we lost to Seattle in that. So, and then part of the reason I started an NPSL club is we fell in love with the Vaqueros. My son's soccer coach played for the Vaqueros at the time, and we went out and watched the Vaqueros play. Who else? The Rayados. 2 years ago at Richland College, and it was just a really cool electric atmosphere, and it's something that didn't exist when I grew up playing the game in the mid to late 90s. So it's a really cool experience and opportunity for us. We're extremely excited.
Oh, I bet you are, and you know, this is one of those games where I can't wait because I hear the passion out of your voice. I can feel the energy coming out of your body through the phone because this is something that everyone dreams about. You know, what's going to happen, you know, if you root for a club, you know, in the professional levels, and then you start your own thing, and then you have your own fans, and now they're believing what you're believing because it's what you're bringing to the town. It's what you're bringing to everyone. And now you have an opportunity not just to face this longtime opponent that has done well in the Open Cup themselves, but now you have an opportunity to knock them out, and you're hosting the match against North Texas. How you pronounce it again? I always say Rayados, but it's
Rayados. It's
Rayados. Thank you very much. I want to make sure I say it correctly. North Texas Rayados. I mean, that's Monterrey in Mexico, obviously, but still,
yep.
Though, my God, what they've done in my book, Rayados, you know, they're becoming one of those amateur sides that is leaving a legacy you know,
yep.
in the now, like what Christos
yep.
has done, you know, back
Absolutely.
In the day, Agan Hawks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I mean, I had, you know, another outlet reach out today and say, you know, what's this opportunity represent, right? And from a first-year club, hey, we couldn't be more proud to just be qualified, because there's only 100 teams, and you and I both know there's way more than 100 teams between the UPSL, NPSL, USL2, USL1, USL Championship, MLS, and amateur teams who have the right to qualify. So just to be in the field is an honor, right? But beyond that, to get a chance to go against a club that's right in our backyard, and the full circle of that is I grew up playing the game, played open league men's soccer, and competed against Rayados in the NTPSA, the North Texas Premier Soccer Association, you know, 8 years ago when I was a young 30-year-old guy thinking that I could hitch my bandwagon with some buddies and we could qualify for the Open Cup. So now to get a chance to compete against them and, you know, to potentially write a little history of our own and try to emulate what they did. Either I believe it was last year when they went, you know, four rounds deep and got a chance to go down and play Houston. I mean, how amazing would that be?
No, absolutely. I mean, why not? I mean, you got an opportunity where, you know, you got a bunch of Texas-sized competition, you know, no pun intended, of course. You know, if you're going to take on a USL Championship League side, I mean, there's El Paso, Locomotive, Rio Grande Valley. Yep. I mean, I don't know if they're still eligible to go, but, you know, that's going to be a tough one if you do. Austin Bold, San Antonio
yep.
FC. I mean, you have an opportunity to make a statement early on if you do knock out your opponents and go into a big run. I mean, that's the hope, isn't it? To go into a big run and you know, you could take on an MLS side, either Houston or FC Dallas. And wouldn't that be something, as you said, you're FC Dallas season ticket holders. What would happen if you go into the box with the Hunt family and all of a sudden it's like, you know, you're shooting the breeze with the Hunt family
no,
for this one?
No, man, it's you know, and let me tell you, I'll be the first to admit, because I want to make sure everybody gets it straight from the horse's mouth and from our organization. That's a big if. We do not take lightly the opponent we face. They're a first-class side, a lot of professional guys on there, even though they're an amateur side, quote-unquote, qualifying through that venue. You know, they got a kid on there, James Cisse, that played at Richland College and led the NJCAA championship in scoring 2 years ago. So, you know, it's a thin line between amateur, semi-pro, professional soccer nowadays. So that's a big if on the run. But to your point, 100%, man. I mean, that's you know, every guy below, or probably most guys, even some of the guys in USL, this is on their list. This is one of the reasons why they endeavor into this type of situation. So, yeah, man, you know, I got an 11-year-old son, an 8-year-old daughter, and a 7-year-old son. And we dream big in our household and put things on boards and try to make what we want in this world create and happen. And it's been amazing to witness this come to fruition and to sit down and explain to my kids the history and the prominence and the gravitas of the moment and the opportunity that as a club, you know, and as a really young club that we get in our second year. So it's going to be fun, man.
Oh, yeah, I cannot wait. Real quickly, though, talk about your Lone Star Conference. I mean, there's Austin United, FC Brownsville.
Yep.
As you said,
yep.
Fort Worth Vaqueros are in there, too. Laredo
yep.
Heat, I know them very well.
Yep.
Katy,
yep.
1895. And, of course, another Open Cup side that's always been there. Not this year, though. Midland Odessa Soccers.
Yep.
What is it about this Lone Star Conference that's very tough? And there's probably there will be blood after 90 minutes.
No, I mean, listen. You know, and then you got the Fort Worth Vaqueros as well. I don't know if you mentioned them, but you know, between all those teams,
I did. Yeah.
The reality is that that soccer is a hotbed, or Texas is an extreme hotbed of soccer from the youth ages. You know, and I got kids that grew up, and I grew up playing the game in the Classic League and the Dallas Cup, all the way up through adults. There's just a real wealth of talent in this area, and there's a real dearth of schools. So a lot of times kids are going off and they're leaving and they're coming back. So there's it's amazing how much talent is continuously just every year. And we've got three development academy teams from a youth perspective. So every year you got, you know, 15, 18 kids graduating from high school and through the DA that not all of them are going to sign. So there's just so much talent that it's just been amazing to see, you know, how many opportunities there are that easily get snatched up by kids that are local. You know, on our roster last year, out of 35 or 38 kids at the end of the year that came through and played for us and represented, I want to say like 29 or 32 of them were from the state of Texas. And most of those were from the Metroplex, like 28 of those were from the Metroplex. So it's just an amazing wealth of talent in the state. So you don't have to go very far to find a really, really good competitive game.
For those of us that, I mean, we all know about the Dallas Cup tournament. You know, we know of it from afar, but still, though, you're there. What's it like over there? What is it to see all these clubs from around the world that come to Dallas for the biggest youth tournament, not just in American soccer, but for the entire world, to pit their youth teams and their different youth levels against some of the local teams? I'm assuming Denton has its own youth clubs, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and they do, and that's one of the goals. That's one of the future goals is for the Denton Diablos Youth Academy as it starts to get its fledgling legs underneath it to start to figure out those pathways to qualify for some of those international tournaments. That's a whole nother podcast and a whole nother radio show. but, yes, we are, you know, there's just so much. And so when you talk about Dallas Cup, you talk about teams from literally all over the globe. I was fortunate enough to play in the Dallas Cup three times. In those three times, I hosted a team from Guadalajara, Mexico, a team from Kyoto, Japan, and a team from the Ukraine, Dynamo Kiev's team. So each time was a totally different cultural experience. And as a player from Dallas, part of the onus and the Dallas Cup was started by a club in Dallas in conjunction with American Airlines as a way to foster goodwill and build the soccer community in Dallas with the Texas Longhorns. And then it's kind of merged from there and grown from there to be a real showcase event. But for local kids growing up, it's a pinnacle tournament. It's something you dream about playing in. And it's really, really tough to qualify as a local team. You got to win your classic league, which is an extremely competitive league, or you got to win some tournaments that are qualification tournaments. So it's not just a pedigree invitation. But, you know, I was fortunate enough to play teams from Italy, from the Royal Air Force Academy in Canada, teams from Japan, teams from Spain, teams from Mexico, teams from Peru and Bolivia and El Salvador. And it's just an amazing cultural experience when you do the international walkout on the Sunday, which is the Dallas Cup every year. The Dallas Cup finals played on Easter Sunday. So I have memories as a kid waking up, going and knocking out church with mom and dad as fast as we can so we can race down to Lake Highland Stadium and watch the U15, U17, and U19 Dallas Cup finals. Because as an 8, 9, 10-year-old kid, it was amazing to have that access to quality, high level of soccer when there was none on TV and there were no professional games to go to, and there was maybe the NASL and some other fledgling leagues. So it's a really cool tournament. And so I'm super excited you know, about the potential of being in that, and then the Diablos being involved as we grow and go from there.
Let's talk about your opponent, North Texas Rayados. How tough are they? I mean, obviously we've seen them from the outside. That's not from the area. You're from the area. Lay it on us, man. How difficult are they on the pitch?
I mean, imagine a men's Premier League, like a men's Open League, right, in a amateur setting that in multiple teams have ex-professional players. And that starts to set the tone of what you're talking about. So NTPSA, each one of those teams, I mean, there's over 40 teams that have professional players on that side. Last time I went out, we played Chad Deering's team in one of the things. So you're talking about U.S. men's national team players, former players, playing at this level. So it's amazing because there's so many guys that grew up in the area playing soccer, we all still want to play. And so those players and a lot of guys that get out of college at 22, 23 that don't have the opportunities to continue on at USL, USL2, like a James Cissé, they go play with Rayados and they go play in other leagues, or they go play some indoor with the Sidekicks, and then they'll go play with the Rayados in the off season. So you're talking about guys that in a lot of ways are professionals. So that's why I kind of laugh when everybody's like, oh, you're playing in them. No. We're playing a legit team that practices year-round, that, you know, has made serious, deep, concerted, perennial runs in the U.S. Open Cup. I think this is their seventh U.S. Open Cup, and we've only been around as a club for 2 years. So, you know, from a task standpoint, yeah, this is a tall order, buddy. You know what I mean? So that's why I cover everything with a sense of humility, because the last thing I want to do is kick the hornet's nest over there. That's a really good outfit. And we are super honored and super appreciated and humbled to be in this arena. And we're going to come out and we're going to give our absolute best performance. And we're going to put on a great atmosphere in our home stadium. And it's going to be an amazing experience for fans and for players and for coaches and for everybody watching around the world on ESPN. But with that said, we also understand that the prospects of winning is extremely difficult. And just like every other team that we've faced, you know, we've lost four games in the club's existence, and each one of those hurts and is painful. And it's only come at the hands of two different clubs. So we don't want to add a third to that list, and we don't want to pick up loss number five. But at the same time, we're super cognizant that that's a 100% reality.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, if you're taking on a juggernaut like that, you got to go in there, as they say, get in there with both barrels. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and you got to be careful who you're going to be hitting that hornet's nest against. So, but, Damon, good luck in March. Good luck in your league season, the NPSL. I wish you the best of luck. Thank you so much for joining me tonight, and have a good night, sir.
You do the same, sir. I appreciate you having me.
No problem. I appreciate you coming on. Have a good night. All right. Damon Gochnauer, Denton Diablos, the owner of the Denton Diablos of the NPSL. It's going to be a lot of fun, folks. This is the matches you want. This is the matches you want to get into. This is the ones that you know that you're going to have a lot of fun. Once again, ESPN Plus, every single match of every single round will be broadcasted, streamed on their platform. It's going to be exciting, fun. I cannot wait. It gets started on Tuesday, March 24th, the first round, and then, of course, Wednesday, March the 25th. Every single Friday after an Open Cup match week is done, you come here on the Four Scenes Fire American Soccer Show, and we try to bring on those managers, owners, whoever's involved in those clubs to come on the show to discuss what happened in that matchup. It's a lot of fun. I cannot wait. Here is the schedule now for that first round proper on Tuesday, March the 24th. Western Mass Pioneers are back. They're going to take on the GPS Portland Phoenix of Maine, 7 p.m. Eastern time at Lusitano Stadium in Ludlow, Mass. West Chester United Soccer Club will be taking on Vereinigung Erzgebirge, the Battle of Pennsylvania. That will be at the West Chester United SC PF Kildare's Pub Turf Field in West Chester, Pennsylvania. Virginia United will be hosting Christos FC. That's at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time at the Howison Homestead Soccer Complex in Woodbridge, Virginia. Chicago FC United will be taking on Minneapolis City. They'll be hosting them at 7 p.m. Eastern time at, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central at SeatGeek Stadium in Bridgeview, Illinois, the former home of the Chicago Fire in Bridgeview, Illinois. Tulsa Athletic hosting the Fort Worth Vaqueros, 8 Eastern, 7 o'clock Central at the Case Soccer Complex on the campus of Oral Roberts University in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That should be a lot of fun. ASC San Diego of the NPSL will be hosting Chula Vista FC, amateur side from California. That'll be at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern at the Triton Soccer Stadium on the campus of UC San Diego at La Jolla, California. And then Cal FC, versus Ventura County Fusion, 7:30 p.m. Pacific, 10:30 p.m. Eastern at the Orange County Great Park, field number 5 in Irvine, California. And then we go to Wednesday, March 25th. FC Motown, Morristown, New Jersey, of the NPSL, they will be taking on the New York Pan Cyprian Freedoms, a two-time U.S. Open Cup champion. They'll be playing over at the soccer stadium, the soccer park, on the campus of Montclair State University in Montclair, New Jersey. The next match, of course, Atlantic City FC. They'll be taking on Newtown Pride FC in Connecticut. This will be at 7 p.m. Eastern Time at Rowan University Soccer Stadium in Glassboro, New Jersey. The Villages, or as we like to say it, the Villages. USL 2, they'll be taking on South Georgia Tormenta FC 2, 4 p.m. Eastern Time at the Villages Soccer Complex in Summerfield, Florida. Miami United FC's under-23s will be hosting Naples United FC, another Florida derby, 7 p.m. Eastern Time at Ted Hendricks Stadium, Millander Park in Hialeah, Florida. Nashville United from Tennessee will, of course, be taking on Cleveland SC, 7 p.m. Eastern Time at, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Time at Vanderbilt University's Soccer Lacrosse Complex in Nashville, Tennessee. The Louisiana Crew hosting Corpus Christi FC, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, Reagan Cajuns Soccer Track Facility at the University of Louisiana in Lafayette, Louisiana. Des Moines Menace, the good old Des Moines Menace of the USL League 2, hosting Med City, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central at Lions Field at the Des Moines Christian School in Urbandale, Iowa. And then Denton Diablos hosting North Texas Riados, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, at the University of North Texas Soccer Stadium in Denton, Texas. FC Boulder Harpos hosting Crossfire Redmond, 7 p.m. Mountain, 9 p.m. Eastern, at the Regency Athletic Complex, the Metropolitan State University of Denver, located in Denver, Colorado. FC Golden State Force hosting FC Arizona, 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Pacific, at the Rio Hondo Stadium in Whittier, California. And then finally, Olympic Club from California hosting FC Davis of the MPSL, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 7:30 p.m. Pacific, at the Nigio. Nigoesco Stadium at the University of San Francisco in San Francisco, California. That is the schedule for the first round of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, the 2020 U.S. Open Cup. And while we have some time here, once again, this is going to be exciting. This is going to be a lot of fun. This is the situation we are all hoping for, we are all wanting. Because once again, it is Open Cup season, ladies and gentlemen. It will start early, March 24th, March 25th. Cannot wait. That's a Tuesday, Wednesday, and on Friday night, on March 27th, join me and my guests picking the best matches to discuss the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup first round. And don't forget that we will find out the possible opponents of round two next week. Once again, excitement personified, excitement galore. It's going to be a lot of fun. Second round pairings and possible pairings announced on January the 29th. So that, my friends, is going to be a fun time, and we'll find out what's going to happen, and then we'll get into that in the next regular show if we do. Of course, very soon we'll be previewing all the MLS teams for 2020. Of course, welcoming Nashville United and Inter Miami into MLS for 2020. Once again, the Open Cup is back. It will be back promptly on ESPN Plus, Tuesday, March 24th, Wednesday, March 25th. And at the same time, ladies and gentlemen, I will be going in and out through Twitter on my smartphone so that we can all get ready for these exciting matches. A little FaceTime here and there with everyone. And I cannot wait to discuss these wins when we get to it. So, I would like to thank my guests for tonight. Mr. Andrew Wildgus from Atlantic City FC. I'd also like to thank Mr. Mike Svanda of Newtown Pride FC in Connecticut. I'd like to thank Mr. Chris Williams, the head coach of the North Carolina Fusion FC's under 23 squad. And of course, Mr. Damon Gochnar of the Denton Diablos. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be wonderful. And I cannot wait. Saddle up and get ready for another fantastic adventure. That is the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Join me again this coming Monday, regular show. And then after this coming Monday, we get ready to preview the Major League Soccer season of 2020. And at the same time, get ready for the 2020 CONCACAF Champions League. It's going to be a fun time, folks. And then we go into the MLS season, and then we go into the Open Cup. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. As always, please join me over at Once a Metro to cover the New York Red Bulls and the rest of the SB Nation soccer family of websites. Talented writers all over the place covering MLS. You will enjoy it. I promise you. If you support an MLS side, you go ahead and head on over there. We also have clubs representing the New York Cosmos as well as Sacramento Republic. It's going to be a tons of fun. It's going to be exciting. Once again, my name is Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much for listening to me tonight. Join me this coming Monday, and as always, please enjoy your football. Have a good evening. Take care. So long, and bye-bye for now, everybody. Have a good night. Enjoy your weekend.